captain of Ingolimus. Akivas faces his job in GOG with Keeve and Ellie and Zooey.
Hey fam, welcome back to New Girl, Old Guy for Season 5, Episode 11, The Apartment. I'm neither the new girl nor the old guy. My name is Allie Lasher, and I am back after the longest hiatus, I think, maybe not, in the history of New Girl, Old Guy with Akiva Whitaker. Keevy, welcome back.
How long has it been?
It might not be as long as the Olympic break, but it feels like it's been a long time to me.
Over a month, I see. August 25th was when we posted Goosebumps Walk Away.
Oh, so it's not even close to the longest break. It might not even be the second longest break we've ever had.
Really? What's the longest break?
Well, I think the Olympics was longer than a month, no?
I could check, but I mean, let's see.
You can find it because I released a random 5-minute episode during the break.
Yes, January 26th and then March 2nd. So that's a longer break. That's a month and almost a week. So
we're back. Just for people on Renap to dunk on us.
We said we're going to try and finish by the next Olympics to avoid it. But at this point, it's not looking great unless we start doubling up.
I just wanted to call out not by name. You know who you are. Person on Renap who called us inconsistent. I mean, it's not true. But do we need the bad pub?
I guess any pub at this point is probably good for us, to be honest. Like, any publicity. Just tell us we suck. Like, at least you're listening.
That's fair. Well, I'm really excited to be back. I've been looking forward to this. I did get to see you in person. Mm-hmm. And then I did make a reluctant appearance on your Renap birthday special. So it's not like I haven't talked to you in the month, but good to be back on our home turf.
Yeah, it was good to...
As you walk away from the microphone.
I'm not walking away. Someone's entering my office. Close the door. Go back to sleep.
Get him on the mic.
Nah, it's a sleeping kid who just woke up. We moved into this house over 6 months ago, and this is my first podcast from my office.
Well, it's so funny because both of us, this isn't my first podcast from my new apartment, but both of us have moved, I guess. I mean, not really 6 months, but
this year,
any move in a year.
Sure.
And now we have an episode about a move that was highlighted to us, but this is very by David. But this is a very well-timed episode. I guess ill-timed in terms of our timing, but well-timed in terms of the theme of the episode.
Right. Yeah. Very timely. Can I tell you about a problem I'm having right now?
Is this the first podcast you've mentioned this on?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. It's a very new problem. I'm on my work computer, and it always like says the weather, and somewhere it'll be like there's a traffic accident, like Windows or whatever will tell me on the bottom of the screen on like my Windows, whatever this is, 10, 11, 15, I don't know. And it's German. My computer thinks I'm in Germany right now, and I do often have VPNs on for work stuff, but there's no VPN. Why does my computer think I'm in Germany? It makes no sense to me.
It's a cruel irony.
I don't know. Maybe I have a virus.
What a very strange virus. Although you think somebody's like pulling all of your information in the background and that's the only indication that you've been hijacked.
It's possible, you know.
All right. I mean, I'm not really the audience for that problem. I'm happy to listen to that problem, but I have no concept of, as somebody who like makes a point of not consuming international television that isn't like legally available to me, VPNs are sort of not in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure like this is a relatable problem, maybe not for you, but for many of our listeners. You want to watch Norwegian biathlon, it's like, oh, it's only available in NRK, the public television station in Norway, so you got to get your Oslo VPN and put it on. Like, this is serious stuff. I told you I bought even though I pay a lot of money every month for my VPN, I bought a second VPN because my VPN wasn't working because it had a 30-day return policy, and it was at $100 because they wouldn't return it because they said I also canceled 2018. And I got my money back. I was very proud. Told you about that.
Oh, yeah. I got to tell my mom the update because you texted me to ask if my mom had any advice on getting it back.
Mm-hmm. I just threatened to cancel to claim fraud and to talk about it on my podcast, which I told them was much more popular than it actually is, and that worked. One of those two, probably the fraud part. I don't think they cared about the podcast, probably. I should have been like, have you ever heard of a little show called New Girl? They'd be like, yeah, were you on it? I'd be like, not exactly. But we do have the second most popular podcast about that show. It says here, your last episode was in August. Does this show end? And I would be like, yes. Maybe? I don't know. That's right. We've done Renap since an NGOG. That is true.
Related to the Renap episode, I have a lot of old business to get to before we mm-hmm. even talk about this episode. But, I, you know, jumping ahead, I really like this episode, so I have a lot to discuss.
Yeah, good episode.
But I mentioned to you on the Renap appearance that I have been listening to your Seinfeld podcast with Rob.
Mm-hmm.
You can come in. Ali has entered, but I told him to just come in because we don't take it too seriously over here. Was that for me? It's not. Okay. Is it actually?
It would be funny if it was flowers.
So nice. I was making a joke. Okay, this is me.
Is it flowers?
Because no, he walks in with an iced tea. I am on the Panera Sip Club, baby. I'll talk about that with anyone. But is this actually for me? Did you get yourself anything? Oh, he just had one drink in his hand, and I made a joke like, oh, you didn't get anything for me, and it's for me. Wow, amazing. Thank you. Now I'm going to have to leave this in. I was going to cut this out, but like...
No, it's good press for him.
Now it's something. Anyway, I've been listening to the Seinfeld, I'm going to say the Seinfeld wrap-up, I guess, post-show recap, and I already did some of my bits about it, I guess, but on the Renap episode, so plug for that. You mentioned one of your favorite pastas, and it took me by surprise. Do you remember what
no,
you said?
No, no idea. Oh, on Renap this week or on Seinfeld?
No,
no.
Yeah, I am so up to date on Renap. I'm bringing you Renap ideas. No, on the Seinfeld recap.
Because someone just asked me what Puya and Leon. Somebody, we were talking about food on that episode.
You were talking about getting lunch, but then the next person came on. Honestly, I don't even. No, no, sorry. You weren't talking about this on Renap. You were talking about this. I believe you were talking about this on the Seinfeld recap.
Okay,
no.
I don't know. I don't even have like a.
Wait,
like
my brain is broken. I am going to edit this out. Let's try again.
No, this is great. Everyone looks
on something that I listened to on some media of yours that I consumed in the last week, be it from 10 years ago or last week.
Correct. Somewhere
you were discussing pasta. It might. Yeah. It actually might have been on the Renap episode.
I think it was. I think we talked about pasta.
You're a big fettuccine Alfredo guy?
No, but when I was a kid, that was my go-to.
No. You said this. And now I'm going to have to go back to both the Renap episode.
I said it. But I said I used to be.
No, you didn't. You got asked what your top pasta is. If like I forget the distinction between a weekday or a weekend.
I said I
used
to be.
And you said fettuccine Alfredo. And it's like, you think you know a guy. And then he says fettuccine Alfredo is his favorite pasta.
No, I said I used to be. And now I like penne al vodka more is what I said.
You did not say that on the podcast because I would have been like, that's so surprising because or just like what a different world because penne alla vodka is so frequently has pancetta in it, but obviously in a kosher restaurant you wouldn't experience that.
I didn't know that. I don't even know what pancetta is. A
pork product.
Ooh. I wish my wife was here.
Should we just start over?
No, this is good. I wish my wife was here, but she is outside decorating the sukkah. Tomorrow night is sukkahs. That's the outdoor hut we built. You can Google it. It's a whole thing. And so I wish she could come in and tell the story of our first like fancy date because we met at summer camp. It's like our first date was to Dorney Park on our like we took the same day off and borrowed a friend's car so we could go to Dorney Park. And I did throw the tickets in the garbage thinking they were receipts and I had to fish through the garbage for them. But that's a whole nother story.
Is this the same amusement park where you told her you loved her and she pretended not to hear you or that was
yes.
another amusement park?
I don't think maybe I'm mixing up stories because I don't think I said I love you. I think I said like I want to go out with you or something. I wouldn't have said I love you.
Events today.
No, I don't think I'm mixing it up. I think I mixed it up. That I don't think I would have said I love you like it was our first date. Like there's no way I would have said that. I think I said like I want to date you, and then she pretended not to hear. Probably ultimately is what has to have happened. I think.
But back to Sukkot. Which I would call Sukkot. Is that because I'm a Gentile?
No. It's the opposite. I don't know. So, they're decorating the sukkah. I'm up here. so they can't hear me because I would love to call her in for the story. But we went on our first, like...
Do you want
to
go decorate the sukkah?
I've never done that once in my life.
Okay.
And my kids help. She's fine. It's not my strength.
Story of your life.
I say that a lot. Like, at work, somebody said something to me about, like, hey, would you be offended if someone else... Like, I said, no, I have a lot of strengths. That's not one of them. That's my line. I just say that's not my strength. You just can't say
that's
too many
times.
That's
not your what? You're
not
speaking,
my strength.
I know you're not on drugs, but you're speaking like somebody who has a performance-enhancing substance going on.
No, I'm just drinking water.
I've never heard you speak this quickly.
I didn't have a British man hand me a tea. I'm just drinking water.
Okay.
So I...
What's your line again? That's not my what?
Not my strength. I say that.
Not my strength. Okay.
At work, I say it sometimes. That's not my strength.
It's not something you should really be highlighting at work.
I know, but
like
I think I have a lot of strength. And then like, here's the thing about me. The things I'm bad at, I'm like historically bad at. Like I have the worst handwriting
in the world. We're aware of you.
I have the worst handwriting in the world. Like I'm the worst at that. Like graphic design.
That's number one of your shortcomings.
For sure. Graphic design, like unbelievably bad. I can't like.
Yeah, we've seen the merch.
There's certain things that I know the least about like fixing things in the world. Like I would have no idea how to screw a light bulb. Even like I always have a backup podcast mic because it'll take like a week for me to like order it from Amazon and ship it here.
You historically have bad luck with podcast mics.
Yeah, I'm on my eighth or ninth. I think at this point it's the mic and not like it's the brand of mics that we always use and not me. But so mine just broke during the 32 Fans episode we just recorded. And like you know how this mic works. You put like there's like a stand for the mic, but you have to like wrap it around the microphone. And I shouldn't even admit this, but I like always ask Mary to do it for me because I can't do it.
Okay, he's saying wrap it around the microphone. You insert it into a C-shaped bracket. Like you're not wrapping anything. You're just, you know, clicking it in. Just for the audience.
No, there's then the second part, then the stand part.
All right, as you're walking away from the microphone, we need to move on.
I can't do it.
We need to move on.
So anyway, the story is... We went out to an Italian restaurant on our first like fancy date, and I wore probably a light colored shirt, and I ordered the fettuccine Alfredo, and Mara said it was all over my face, like and I think I got it on my shirt even, but it just like had like white sauce all over my face, like during our first like real date.
Okay, literally to think that, like, my, like. I don't know. Like, that would have been a relationship-ending event. I would never be like...
It should have been. No, I think she thinks about that all the time. Like, it was like God giving me an out, you know? And I
Your kids... There's a famous story in my family of my parents. Flowers got delivered to the wrong address. My mom went out with a different guy on her birthday because she never heard from my dad. Blah, 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 blah. I might have told it here. I'm sure it will come up if I haven't. I digress. I constantly think, like... Those flowers threaten my whole existence. Like, I'm very lucky my dad recovered from that, or the date with the other guy didn't, like, really go swimmingly, whatever. Like, the fettuccine Alfredo almost, like, decided your kid's existence.
There would be no Ella or banana. There would be no banana minute, you know? Imagine that. Forget about it.
We probably wouldn't even be here right now doing this, even
almost
though
definitely
I'm
not
your kid.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Speaking of Sukkot.
Okay.
My mom runs a temple gift shop. That's not news.
Mm-hmm.
She got an interesting inquiry recently at around 8:30 p.m. about a lulav cover. She doesn't have one, but potentially she might stock them. You know anything about a lulav cover? Is your lulav covered?
Basically, the most basic thing here is people put them in a plastic. So it's not a full cover. There are lulav covers, but it's basically... You have to explain what a lulav is, I think, to the people first.
A lulav is what? Let me see if I remember. A lulav is like branches from three different plants.
Yes, but the lulav itself is one. Then there's just it has like
right, but it's comprised of branches from three different species of plant. Is that right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, but the lulav itself is one. But yeah, it's basically there's two attached to it. But
it's like a bouquet of greenery.
Yeah,
that
basically.
You shake. You shake it. You shake it north. You shake it south. You shake it west. You shake it east.
Mm-hmm.
And then inexplicably, there's a large lemon/grapefruit-type fruit called an etrog that...
Yeah, correct.
That, is there. And apparently, if you cover your lulav, it lasts for about a week. So when my mom was saying this, I was like, how long is a lulav lasting? I was like, do they have a cover that you could use it year to year? It's like a fresh plant.
No. You actually, what a lot of people do here is you sort of like put it in a side room or something, and then you burn it with the chametz by Passover, like the eve of Passover.
So you got to hold on to your lulav for
I think most people throw it in the garbage probably, but here a lot of people do that.
Are you keeping a rotting lulav for 6 months?
I think, yeah, people do. You'll put it in like...
No, I'm asking about you.
Yeah, my wife will... We got worse stuff in this house, honestly. I'm in this room right now, which wasn't ready for 6 months and still is not ready for prime time.
All right.
But...
So
yeah.
Do you think the Jude should stock lulav covers? Is there a demand?
Yeah. What I do, honestly, and if you don't know what it is, you could just Google L-U-L-A-V. But basically, there's a plastic that you put it in. What we do is I take it out of, like, the whole contraption, and we leave it in the fridge overnight. So, like, that's what I've always done. And you, like, put warm water on the—you, like, wrap it in water, try and keep it for a week. It only needs to last, basically, 6 days once you start using it.
And it's not like a flowering plant that would go, like, I have confidence the last 6 days. The sukkah actually...
No, the side things die. Often you have to buy a second set of the side stuff. Those die often in a few days.
All right. Well, I don't know. I haven't really ever...
And, you know, some people turn the etrog into, like, food, or, like, you could even make alcohol out of it.
Turning it into food is an interesting way to say eating it or cooking it. I go into my kitchen and I turn things into
one
dinner.
Remember, if you remember just a few minutes ago, I said the worst in the world, certain things, like that cooking is one of them. I don't know anything about cooking.
You don't know how to turn things into food.
Zero. I don't know how to turn the oven on, really. Mara had to give me like very specific instructions when they went away for a few weeks. By the way, speaking of eating, we went to an omakase restaurant when we were in New York. You're always in New York, but when I was there visiting.
We did. Kiva's first time.
My first time in omakase. A lot of sushi. What was your take on the omakase?
You know, I learned a lot because I don't know much about kosher rules besides like the big headline items, right? The like mm-hmm. the no pork, bacon. The hooves, yeah. The shellfish, mm-hmm. The milk and the meat. I wasn't really aware of, I think, the fins and scales concept. Like, I've never mm-hmm. gotten that far.
Ironically, I believe the name of the restaurant. Right?
No, not ironically. Like, totally makes sense call a kosher omakase place that. You want to tell the listeners what that means?
Fins and scales. Yeah, you can only... the only fish we eat are the ones that have fins and scales, right? It's like we don't eat animals that have split hooves or that chew at their own, like, I guess, like, we always said cud growing up, but I don't know what cud is. Chew their own.
My
cud.
Mom used to say that when I was chewing gum in a way that offended her. You're chewing like your
old
cud.
Work. Yeah, that's like so. Yeah, that's what's kosher fish. That's kosher.
So
no swordfish, no shellfish, and no I don't know, sharks. We can't eat shark.
I think eel's not going to be there, which normally on a.
Yeah, that's a sushi menu.
An omakase menu. So I'll say this. I didn't really know, and I think Chester and I talked about this on our end of the sushi counter. Like, so when you guys said, like, oh, it's going to be a little expensive, I normally don't balk at, like, a nice omakase. And, in fact, this is run in Chabad by Sushi by Boo, which for people who are in New York is, like, a very good omakase. And usually probably a little bit more reasonably priced than this Chabad thing, but... The money goes to the Chabad, which I also didn't know. And I had a little bit of an attitude of like, I'm happy to pay more at a kosher restaurant to eat dinner with you, Kiev. That's fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I don't want to pay an exorbitant price for the same quality of food I could have elsewhere. Like, I thought the markup was going to be in the fish. So I didn't think it was going to be, let's say it was $100. I was like, all right, it's going to be $50 a fish at a kosher price point of $100.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was being annoying about going to it. But then when I found out that it's like the exact same fish supply and it was a very generous offering, like we had like, I don't know, 15 different types of fish.
15 courses.
Yeah. I was thrilled. Then I was like, all right, this was a great value. Kosher sushi is, if you don't want to pay a markup at a kosher restaurant, take your Orthodox friends to kosher omakase.
Yeah, it's not an every night thing because it was still expensive, but
Certainly not. But it was on par with, like, you know what I'm saying? I thought the
mark for sure.
Was
no,
be
absolutely.
The
absolutely. And if you're going to go somewhere expensive, it may as well be good. Then you won't regret it, really. Yeah, I agree. The portions were good. There weren't really any wasted courses. I thought it was good. It goes by pretty fast. They do a lot of servings. But I thought it was very good. I was impressed. I would do it again.
Yeah. Great company, great food. We love it. A few more things to talk to you about. First of all, happy birthday.
Why, thank you.
Third of all.
Honestly, I don't feel – people keep asking me, like, do you feel old being 40? I really don't. I think the person who felt it the most was my mom. I think she feels, like, really old that she's a 40-year-old kid, you know? She's not – I think people, like, tell her all the time, like, she's not so old-looking. Like, I don't think she looks – and she's not that old for someone who has a 40-year-old kid. She's 61 or something like that. But 62 maybe. But I don't feel it, you know? I feel like maybe a couple years ago where, like, I had a bad spot or whatever, and it was like – then if I was, like, turning a certain age, I'd be like, oh, where am I in life? But I feel like I'm very comfortable where I am right now. So why would I care about being 40? But I did like teasing people like you that were just 230-something. So unfortunately, I can't do that for, like, 9 more years now. But other than that, it was fun.
As Dr. Amanda said, you're now there's no meaningful difference in your age. Now there is a meaningful difference in our age, and it feels more
age,
like
yeah.
all is right in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I've moved on to like Rob and Amanda. I'm their contemporaries again.
I mean, you're in very good company.
Mm-hmm. But not. I'm now your senior.
You said something very funny to me that I didn't really press on at the time, but you made a comment that like. Your dad interacted with a student who was the child of someone you went to high school with. And
correct.
You're like,
yeah,
wow.
He came to my father, my father Shiva, because he was his teacher.
Not your father Shiva.
Yeah.
But you said it, that made you feel old. That's your peer has a kid that is younger than your kids. And you said because... You had kids young, but other people aren't supposed to have kids young. So
right,
now that people
true.
Are at normal childbearing years, you feel old. That was fascinating to me.
Yes, it makes me feel old. Also, I mean, remember, my daughter is January 1st. If she was one day older, she would be in college now, even though she's a senior in high school. But I have a friend who had a daughter like a week before me. Like, his daughter is of college age. So that, I guess, should make me feel old. Also, like that, like I will have a friend, you know, potentially in a few years who could be a grandparent, you know? Again, we speed run through a lot of life stuff, you know, our people, but still. Honestly, the thing that's made me feel oldest is my daughter drives. She's now allowed, she passed a road test, she's allowed to drive on her own. That makes me feel really old. And also, like, that's like grown up expenses. Like, she's like, I want a car. And I, like, never in my head sort of.
Yeah, is there an update on the group chat, the success of the group chat, people with cars?
Yeah, she has had no luck so far. My mom said she was really pushing for a Tesla when she was at my mom's house for a few weeks. And I asked her, and she said, well, I know I wasn't going to get a Tesla, but she obviously wanted a Tesla. But I figured if I asked for a Tesla, maybe they would get me some junky car as like a consolation prize.
I like her style.
Mm-hmm. But they're really relentless with this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's the job of a teenager.
I didn't really ask for anything, I don't think, when I was a kid. I was maybe, like, the easiest. Other than the fact that I was, like, useless. You know, I couldn't, like, do things or help. Or, like, really watch my sisters. Then once I had two little babies, sisters, when I was in high school. But I never asked for anything. I never said, hey, can we go somewhere on vacation? Or can you buy me this present? Ever once.
Are you the oldest? You are the oldest, right?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm the oldest.
So it's so interesting because... My mom always says that about me and my brother. Like, usually the oldest is supposed to pave the way. So, like, for example, my brother was driving 4 years before I was. He had my grandma's car, and then I drove that when he went to college. So, like, I never really had this debate about a car. But everything else I had to fight for as the youngest because my brother, same like you, he just kind of, I think he maybe asked for a video game system. And then after that, he never asked for a cell phone.
Yeah,
he never
here.
Asked for any of those things. And I had to, like... Paved the way that should have already been paved for me.
Yeah, I guess he should have been more of like a bro, no pun intended, and like just ask for stuff just to like set the precedent for you.
Like, Adira's going to be very lucky because Ella's, well, if Ella's able to negotiate a decent package, then your other kids are going to get either whatever Ella leaves behind. Like, if she does get a car, then Adira will just share that car and blah, blah, blah. But good on Ella for paving the way of asking. Maybe it's an older sister thing. I don't really know.
But I think all my kids are askers, honestly. I think they're all going to be like, I don't know. It's not good. I forgot. Kids are expensive, but I feel like they haven't been expensive till now, and now they're about to get expensive, and it's like, oh, shoot.
Well, if you've had five kids, ages 17 to 2, and they're just now getting expensive, you've had a really nice 18 years.
Yeah,
good
we had a good run. That's what I'm saying. We had a good run, but now I feel like everyone's got big eyes. Like, moved into this big house, everyone's like, ooh, mommy and daddy. They must be doing nicely, like, asking for stuff. And I was like, no, we can't afford this house either.
Want to hear something great? I was with Jordan Kalish the other weekend, and he said that his parents or his mom used to sit, like, they'd go to a toy store, and his mom would say, it's a toy museum.
<That's>
Isn't that genius?
She wouldn't want to buy stuff?
Yeah, it's like we're going to
How
a toy museum.
Was
like, the toys are not for sale.
Because if I said that, like, now to 9-year-old Noam, he'd, like, burn down the store. You know what I mean? Like, he would
No,
not...
but it might work on Shy when he's 3.
Yeah, oh, of course. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, 3-year-old
I think
work on.
It's probably been working on Kalish until, like, the last 2 years. I don't know.
He just learned. We'll buy you a bagel on the way home, honey. And that, like, sort of started his obsession.
All right, a few other news items. The first is as an update on the bet between me and my brother about the Super Bowl halftime performer. I couldn't remember if we were in year two. I'm going to just call it year one of the three. So for any new listeners who are just joining us after this long hiatus, my brother bet me that Pitbull will be the headlining Super Bowl act in the next 3 years. 1 year down, Usher was announced as the Super Bowl headliner.
Mm-hmm. Now, as I pointed out to you, they do have a song together, so it's not impossible that Pitbull shows up. I really think they need a Super Bowl in Miami to get Pitbull involved, honestly. I have no problem with the Usher choice. I think it's a fair choice. But I do think Vegas, you could have gone, and you still could go with, like, some of the, I think the Killers, Panic at the Disco, and I think there's a third band, like, in that world who are all Vegas-bound. I think maybe they could, like... Like, if I don't know, it'd be cool if they came out and the Killers came out, like Usher sang Mr. Brightside with them or something. Pitbull 0-for-1.
Just to memorialize it, and I think I talked with Alex on maybe the soccer podcast about this, but I said to my brother, because I sent him the song they have together, and he was like, oh my God, I forgot. Like, that's perfect. I was like, look, if he's a surprise performance, it's a push.
Just a push. Imagine it's like one of the all-time wins and it's just a push. But I agree with you.
Well, my brother bet that he would be the headliner. I would not have taken the bet if he was a get. Like, he is probably in the top 10 people likely to show up on somebody else's song at the Super Bowl. Like,
yes.
So I'm not an idiot. I wouldn't have taken that bet. My brother wanted to do it based on the amount of minutes, like the percentage of minutes to the performance, like the ratio of how long
he's
on stage.
Specific.
I was like, no. It's a push if he's just featured. Neither, it's a wash. If he headlines, great. If he doesn't, he doesn't.
I mean, so ultimately, this was a bad bet on his end. Like, he really should
have. Horrible.
Horrible. If I was DraftKings, I would, like, be cold calling him and being like, hey, want to make an account?
All right. The last bit of news before I get to a question of old business, and then we could talk about this episode. What a teaser. So I followed Jake Johnson on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things pop up from here, things pop up here and there. But something I found very interesting popped up. And so I took a screenshot, although now I can't find it between the screenshots of stuff for that fake Survivor League that you have me involved in. All right, I'll wing it without reading it. But basically, here it is. Somebody DM'd him on Instagram and said, this is in his grid, a screen capture of the conversation. Hi, Jake. It was so nice meeting you guys the other night. Thanks for all the advice. Hope to see you at Rain Dance. And he wrote, what's Rain Dance? And then sent his podcast link. So I don't know, maybe this is a hoax. And she said, the festival. Jacob sent them my information about working it. Did we not meet you in Edinburgh? And he said, no. And now he captions this. There's apparently a fake me giving life advice in bars. The only bad advice I give is on my podcast. We're here to help. I'm going to try to have her on the podcast to hear what the advice fake Jake gave. And then she included a picture. And he was like, that's not me. And he was trying to get this person to appear on his podcast and said, fake Jake, reach out. So sorry, I feel like I explained that in the worst way possible. But did that. I'm sending you the photo now on Twitter DMs.
I do think Jake, even though he's a good looking guy, is probably someone who has 1,000 doppelgangers in the world. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like he's a pretty easy, like, I don't think there's probably a ton of like Zooey Deschanel impersonators walking around, you know?
No. Like, I, now it's not letting me send this. I wouldn't have screen capped it if I didn't think the guy did look like him. Like, I don't know that I would have believed him in the bar, mm-hmm. but I just think it's so funny. And it's so true to like Nick Miller, right? Like, have we gotten to this part in the season yet? And it's a spoiler, if it is a spoiler, whatever. Where Nick like meets an old man at the bar who pretends to be him from the future. All right, maybe we'll see it, whatever. This is the most unprofessional podcast of all time. Basically, this feels like something that would happen to Nick Miller, which is why I found it so funny.
I guess that's true, yeah.
Okay, here it is, sending it. Done. I enabled Twitter.
You know, it was a very early episode, yes. Old Nick was okay. Okay, we've seen it at the beginning. That's why this ring a bell, because it was 3 years ago for us.
All right, has it come through?
Yeah, so this is fake Nick. Or fake Jake. He does look a lot like him. But he looks a little older, a little grayer maybe. By the way,
you're comparing him to Jake Johnson in 2016. Like Jake Johnson now, like, you know, 13 years later.
I don't think his teeth are good enough for a Hollywood guy also.
6 years later, whatever.
You know what I mean?
If you were drunk at a bar.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
All right. Last thing.
Wait,
Glory
I also
to
want
us.
To say about Jake Johnson, and now the writer's strike is over, thankfully, but they were raising money, and they had one of the packages that was being auctioned off was every New Girl cast person would get on a call with you, maybe? They were doing something with you. I think it was
like a Zoom call with...
Yeah, Zoom call. It was everyone but yeah. Jake Johnson. Everybody.
Plus Vaughn Moscato.
Plus Fawn, which made me think like maybe she's like a main character again. So I wasn't going to mention, but yeah, that is. I mean, is there beef? Has he not been on their podcast, Jake Johnson? Is he? He's like a big part of the Hollywood Handbook podcast I listen to. He's like, he's a regular guest. So I'm surprised if it just has nothing to do with them.
Yeah, it is weird. I don't know. People did tweet us about that. Do you know how much that went for?
No, how much? I didn't see any of the prices of any of that stuff.
Who Weekly did an amazing game about guessing like how much things went for. Mm-hmm. So they didn't talk about this. I'm going to try to pull it up right now, but I honestly really recommend listening to the latest episode and then talking about it.
Okay. Happy to do that.
I don't know where, hold on. Zoom with the cast of New Girl, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Okay. The winning bid, you want to take a guess?
$17,500.
No. Things were not like the most, things did not go that high. I mean, they went high, but not $17,000 high. That's ridiculous.
Okay. I thought you were just making it seem like it was insane. I'll say.
No, I was just, if it was $5, I'd say, do you want to guess?
$7,900.
$7,900. No, less than that. Okay. Maybe if Jake Johnson showed up.
Yeah, they were probably missing Jake. All right, $4,325.
It went for $5,500.
Okay.
41 bids.
Okay, nice deal. What was the most expensive thing?
You really need to be on the microphone.
What was the most expensive thing?
I don't know. Listen to the Who Weekly did that.
So I'm going to listen to the whole episode. Okay, fine.
How long was the Zoom, do you think?
I think it's 15
minutes.
It was
time limited. Yeah, it's only 15 minutes.
I'm sure they gave him more than 15, honestly, but...
I wouldn't be sure. Because you know what it is? I don't think it was like the gang hanging out. I would guess that it was like a person like who would broker it, who would be like, oh, I'm so sorry, our time is up. So it's not
like
the cast
members deciding. Oh, for sure. The publicist would do that. That's true. Yeah.
I don't know which of their publicists or if somebody was like just working this auction.
You're probably right.
All right, let's get to the episode. Enough of that, as we are over 30 minutes into this podcast. Season 5, Episode 11, The Apartment, originally aired March 15, 2016. Interestingly, written by Nina Pedrad, sister of the actress who plays Allie.
Yeah, who's in this episode, yeah.
Oh, actually, sorry. Before we get to the digest, Glory wrote to us and said, y'all good? You and Akiva sounded like some tension on the podcast. We good, Keith?
Which podcast? Renap? There's always tension when Allie.
No, I think that was about our last episode, which is funny. We've certainly had more tension and done podcasts.
Yeah, no, we had like years of
time.
Where we were in tension. We've never been better.
All right, let's get to the digest.
We're probably cranky. Like maybe one of us hadn't had our tea yet or something. By the way, still, someone came over to me. Who was? Oh, I think it was. I went out to lunch in Tel Aviv with Jacob Redman. I think was the one who mentioned this. That he like laughed at me and told me he told my family how stupid I was for cutting out tea as part of my no caffeine diet. Carbohydrates. But I still have not had tea since my diet started in May. 4 months no tea, even though I was drinking it every day.
But we already discussed this. You thought tea had like calories, and
yeah,
but it
doesn't. The proof is in the pudding. Like I've never, you know what I mean? The results are there. So
okay, you are literally like somebody who's like, I've cut out eating fat and I've cut out tea and I can't bring the tea back because the results are there.
The results are there. It could have been the tea this whole
time. This is annoying to me. I have to move on. Let's get to the digest.
All right. Kiwi's Digest. This episode's called The Apartment. Not The Loft. This is Cece's apartment. Cece is moving out because they're getting married. She has some issues packing and she has some maybe brief second thoughts about, you know, getting married, and it's a big step. Meanwhile, Jess is dealing with Elizabeth Berkley from Saved by the Bell. Jessie Spano is her name, right? On Saved by the Bell?
Yeah.
As her sort of like HR, you know, HR nightmare principal. And Nick is dealing with a flasher at the bar that he now owns whatever percent of. Meanwhile, Winston, a lot of different storylines here. It's kind of evenly divided. Winston has broken up with Allie as a police partner and has a new partner, but sort of is having second thoughts there. Everyone's got something to do in this episode.
Yeah, I really like this episode. I actually thought it was a great entrance back in because, as you said, it's the love is sort of spread. They shared the wealth, whatever the phrase is. And even in the first scene, right, a mysterious box arrives. So if let's take it with the apartment bit and then the bit at the bar with Allie and Winston. There's a mysterious box there, and their lines are so perfect, like of a reminder of the characters. I was so happy to see them again. Winston says, well, it's too small to be a cat hotel, and it's too big to be pants, so it can't be me. Nick says, me neither. I pick up all my deliveries at the port. Just okay. And Schmidt's like, it's not mine. I only buy local, except for every other item he buys.
Right. Yeah, everyone's sort of doing their best hits, which was happens at a sitcom by season 5 in the middle already.
And then we hear that it can't be Cece's because she's at her apartment with Jess. They're going to toast, you know, to the end of her old apartment and say goodbye. This is, I feel like, a common sitcom thing, like people saying goodbye to the apartment or you know, whatever. Do you get nostalgic for locations when you moved? Did you feel like
no.
Okay.
No, I mean, I don't. We've moved a few times. I think the saddest I ever got, I've mentioned this before, is when I left my 39-day hotel. I like, wanted to give it a hug goodbye a little bit. I, like, missed that room. Like, Stockholm Syndrome, whatever. But I don't. I was at my last place also. It was, like, enough already. We were so many people. I was happy to leave. I haven't so far. Maybe when I moved out of my house, like, I have a lot of emotional attachment to my childhood home. You know what I mean?
Do your parents still live in your childhood home?
Yes.
So, yeah, my mom still lives in my childhood home, too, which is very nice to be able to go back to. But I agree. Like, I was very sad and sentimental when I was, like, leaving Ann Arbor, like, the location. I never really felt, like, a particular connection to any of the apartments or rooms I lived in there. And even in this move, like, my very sweet and thoughtful boyfriend who's listening to this half of the podcast, God help him, was like, oh my God, like so many memories here when like I was moving out and like the last, and I was like, yeah, we got to go. Like these are walls. This is a floor. on to the next.
Especially the Manhattan apartment. I do think it's hard to really fall in love with it, especially if you're a renter. You know, they come and go. I've been there also. I think in camp we used to be very nostalgic. By the end, I'd be like, ah, bunk gate. Like, let's write our name in the ceiling. Like, I'll really never forget this place, you know?
So Jess comes in, and as you mentioned, Becky Cavatappi, the principal, played by Elizabeth Berkley. Did you remember from our last episode 10 years ago that you did guess this? We previewed that she would be here.
How did I guess Elizabeth Berkley out of everyone?
I said like someone known from a 90s show. And I think you actually said something about their appearance. And I was like, not known for their appearance, but like the character is. Because we find out that Becky Cavatappi is sort of all looks and no substance.
Right.
Yeah. But Matt S. said, do we know the principal retired? Do you remember that? Like, we actually have continuity from the pre-jury duty episode of Jess's. But then we took such a long hiatus.
Did we see him retire? We just heard like, oh, he retired and Jess is out, so it's a disaster or something like that.
So I don't believe Principal Foster actually retired. I think he like broke something. Like he was like going to the hospital and was like, I need you here or something like that. So then she tries to get out of jury duty. Mm-hmm. And because the lawyer is like, I thought you cared about justice. She does the quote right thing and goes to jury duty anyway, in which case her enemy, Becky Cavatappi, gets the job in her stead. But I think she's just like interim acting principal. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I believe, the storyline from pre-jury duty.
This is Elizabeth Berkley's only acting role other than playing Jesse Spano. She did the Saved by the Bell reboot since 2014, where she's not playing herself.
I love Elizabeth Berkley.
Yeah, she should have acted more. She played an actress called Kelly Wentworth on The L Word in 2009.
I see that. Funny for Jesse to play Kelly.
It was a good role. I don't think we're going to see Elizabeth Berkley again because Jess quits, but that was honestly a good character.
So Jess shows up with gas station Polish Prosecco, and we get the reveal that Cece hasn't even started packing and has to be out of her apartment by tomorrow. David says, very fitting timing for an apartment move to go with Allie's recent move. Important question, are y'all more Cece during a move or Jess?
What are you?
What do you think I am? An old staple.
I think you are more Jess.
Interesting. I mean, I'm a big procrastinator and I'm messy. So I think that kind of goes into the CC move.
Mm-hmm.
But
ultimately you're a doer. Like, I think you just get stuff done.
Yeah. I would never need a friend to show up.
Right.
Actually, one time when I would say my college / law school moves, when I just had like two suitcases worth of stuff in like one room, I did all of that like the last night. Like, I'd go out and be like, oh, I gotta get home at 11 because I gotta like finish packing. And actually, I should say, even my last senior year apartment in college, my friend Callie and I have a joke because two of my friends had to come over and like sweep and take trash out. And like, I had to abandon a TV because it wouldn't fit in the box. And my dad was like so pissed, but we had a flight, so there was no flexibility. So like, I've definitely put myself in a jam or two, but in my older age, like in this last move, I was very, very determined to be organized about it. So I really spent like about a week and a half going through things, doing the keep and toss thing like Jess and Cece, and then I was pretty organized about it. But I've been both is really the summary.
Yeah.
But my nightmare would be that Jess would have to come in and do all of it for me. I don't like when people go through my stuff.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I maybe there aren't just two people. Maybe there's like people who are a mix of both.
What are you, Keith? Or is Mara just Jess, so you're sort of nothing?
No, I don't know. We're not. It's not our strength. Moving, honestly, we're pretty bad at it.
Well, what does that mean?
We got like, seven people and a lot of stuff.
Who managed the move?
I mean, she has to do all the stuff, but we have so much stuff that no one in the world would be good at what we have.
All right.
We have like this downstairs area that sort of leads nowhere. That's a storage. we have an attic that's sort of not livable, like, but it's you could like climb up there with a ladder. That's storage. We got a storage facility. We got more storage. We got stuff at like a friend's house. We have more storage than anybody in the world, and we still have like boxes everywhere.
Wait, I can't explain why my head just went here, but are you a Virgo or a Libra?
Libra.
Oh, thank God. Okay. So Jess, like a good friend, is like, all right, I'm going to be here with you. I'm going to help out. Meanwhile, Principal Cavatappi calls from the bath, and the budget, which is represented by a comically large binder, is now due tomorrow. Why? I don't feel like the principal does the budget, do they? That feels like a Board of Ed thing.
It seems
really
like it's a school with very little staff. You know, there's really not. There's not a lot of people to help out, it looks like.
But I did like the line, I took my contacts out because they're ugly.
It's very funny. I really like her character.
More than Fawn Moscato.
I wish we had seen more of her. Yeah, I like her much more.
I could see a storyline. If Schmidt and Cece weren't engaged, I could see a storyline a la the Fawn Moscato thing where Schmidt's very into Becky Cavatappi.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we find out that the delay in Cece's packing is really just panicking about saying goodbye to her single life. And Jess says, you know, stuff it to the binder. They're going to have the night they're supposed to have and pack up. Chloe G says, I feel like Cece's emotional arc is overshadowed by how completely horrible she is to Jess all episode. Did you feel like, did you sympathize with Cece or did you feel like she was being a little bit of a diva in her friendship?
No, I don't think she was being a diva. I think people go through stuff like that. I think it was fine.
What do you think of Schmidt's idea to drop their last names and come up with new last names?
I'm usually not a big fan of that, honestly. You know, I mentioned once to my grandpa, who passed since the last episode, I said, like, you know, if I was in media, which I wasn't at the time, I don't think, am I in media now? I don't know. But like, I said, like, I kind of, my
you
name
have an
is,
Emmy.
It's true. I do have an Emmy now. I think I told you this, right? That the Emmy showed up at my parents' house as Shiva ended. And I think my mom was a little bit like, oh, it would have been nice to have all week. Like good, good talking point for my dad. Just, oh, there's like an Emmy on the table or something. And I said it like, you know, Wienerker, it's unpronounceable, it's unspellable. I think I'm going to change my name. And he like didn't even understand what I was talking about. He's like, why? It's a great name. Like, what do you mean? I went so far as like, I'm going to change it, but that I would want to. But he was like, so he wasn't even adamant. He just thought it was like an insane concept. So I dropped it. I didn't have an idea at all.
What do you think of Zenith or Telluride?
Akiva Telluride? It's not bad.
Akiva Zenith?
But I feel like if you have a 9-letter last name and you switch, you want something shorter, you know?
Yeah, it is interesting because we know Schmidt as Schmidt, that Cece would be Cece Schmidt is very strange.
It is strange.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, like, you have those friends that you call by their last name. I met somebody recently and I said, let's say the last name was like Bernstein, right? I said, oh, are you Bernstein's mom? And she's like, well, I'm many Bernstein's mom. And I was like, oh, good point. I don't even know your son's first name.
Well, like, I've had that where if you're like friends with a guy first and everyone calls him by their last name. Mm-hmm. And then like a couple of my friends have gotten engaged and married to guys that they call socially by their last name. And then they have to kind of make a switch that's a little bit awkward because it's like you can't really call your husband by their last name.
You could in theory, but it's also, especially if you
really
change
can't.
It, it's you.
Yeah, like you just can't refer to your husband as his last
Did
name.
Did anybody?
Or wife.
I mean, people must call you Lasher or have called you Lasher when you were in school.
A very specific niche. Everyone who knows me from college calls me Lash and no one before and nobody after. And
so it's, just undergrad.
Undergrad. There was one guy who I was friends with in undergrad who was also in my law school class, and he would call me Lash at law school, and that was like cute, but that was it.
He tried to make it happen, but it didn't happen.
No, he didn't try to make it happen. It's just like I don't know, my friend Terry, who I know from college, her fiance calls me Lash because she calls me Lash, but just nobody else
It didn't
does.
Spread past college. I have that, too, where, like, I had, like, a couple friends my whole life, and then they would go off, let's say, to college or, like, you know, they would, like, live with a bunch of people in the city after, and they picked up a nickname, and now it's, like, what everyone calls them, but I, you know what I mean? But I missed it. I can't call them that.
Yeah, you don't change it just because somebody else is like, Elliot was calling you Lash, nobody else was going to adopt
that. Right, even if everybody calls them that now, it's like, well, I'm sticking with the original name.
I thought you were going to say people called you, like, Wiener. I was like, oh.
Well, people called me Weenie, but, like, very briefly. I'd say, like, third grade, fourth grade, and then maybe it got a little more, like, scatological and, like, nickname stuff. But by fifth grade, it was over forever. I never heard it again past fifth grade ever, which is weird. I was like, the whole time I was like, are they like waiting? But nobody ever called me. They only called me Akiva, and then Akiva became Kiev by like the end of high school. But it never really happened. And then my second sister was only called Weenie, I think, in school her whole life.
But that feels like pejorative. Like, is that mean?
No, I think they meant it. No, they weren't, like, bullying her. I think she liked it. Ironically, it's not her name anymore because she got married. Also, like, huge incentive for my three sisters to get married was, you know, a really bad last name with the word Wiener in there.
It's funny the person who called the person. I went to high school with a guy whose last name was Wiener, and we called him Weens. Mm-hmm. Two Weens. But, not Weenie. Weenie
nobody,
feels like you're yeah. Weenie.
Yeah, nobody ever called me. I've never really been called Weens. Once in a while, maybe you'll say Kiwi Weens, but I've never really been called that.
I say that?
I think you've said it a few times.
Yeah, I think I have said that actually. But
nobody
said back to me.
Nobody ever called me that, and it's really only Akiva or Kiev. I think are the only two people things that
or
maybe girls try. I think Kiwi at one point when I was younger. Sometimes girls call me Kiwi, but it didn't stick.
All right, so we get a flashback to when CeCe originally moved in, which I don't know if it's like a bid to explain like how a model who moved to LA in her teen years could just like afford a pretty large apartment. Yeah. That there was a knife in the wall and a spoon with rock candy in it, Keith.
I mean, wasn't she living with eight when she was doing better professionally, like eight other models at the beginning of this?
Yeah, like that apartment had, and I did like that they didn't really mention, I don't know if we've missed it and they've like mentioned that the other models moved out or whatever, but like they do in the last scene after the credits, they have, or not after the credits, I don't know what I'm talking about, but in the last scene, Nadia comes in, it's a flashback to when she moved in, basically just saying like she's escaped Russia and needs a place for beer and sleeping. So at least they do give a nod to the fact that she was not living there alone.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not consistent to me at all.
It's definitely not. So CeCe reminds Jess that she's like a person who loves her job, which really is a specific type of person, right? There's probably three types of people. There are people who like hate their job and that's all they talk about. There are people who like it's their job and they do it, but it's not their personality. And then there are people who love their job, and that's their personality.
Yeah, where do you think you are?
Do you think it's? I'm in the middle. Like I like my job. I'm fine with my job, but I'm mm-hmm. not like. I didn't have a calling. You know, I'm not one of those people.
I also think it's like I think this is like that for any of like the really common jobs. It's like it's harder for it to be your personality when it's so common. You know what I mean? It's like the most common job is like lawyer, teacher.
Oh, people are very passionate about being... Well, I would say that most people who are teachers, like, are very passionate about...
Yeah, I guess it was a bad take.
It's so annoying.
I guess you're right. You're right. It's true. I guess it's a bad take. Maybe they do it, but they shouldn't because, like, well, yeah, it could be a great job or you do a great thing, but, like, yeah, everyone's a lawyer or everybody's a teacher or everybody's a professional athlete.
But we have a very touching moment where CeCe sort of... Jess is reluctant, is like, last time I was unemployed, I knit a condom, I ran out of things to do, and, you know, I take small planned steps like an arthritic dog, I don't leave. And CeCe, inexplicably, talk about inconsistency, has a note of the loft's address that says Ash for Schmidt. I don't know why CeCe would have that, but it's sort of like, you took a big swing moving into this loft, take a big swing and quit your job. Matt Stewart says, is it ever a good idea to quit before having something else lined up?
It's a good question. I've discussed this with friends recently. I mean, it depends. I don't know. Like, it's probably better to just get yourself fired, but.
That's not correct.
Well, if you could get severance and, or
that
something.
That is bad. Well, you don't get severance for being fired.
Oh, I don't know how it works. Oh, yeah, don't listen to me for my advice on this. But or laid off, whatever.
There were people in, like, the tech world who were, like, hoping Facebook laid them off because then they'd get sevy, they hated their job, and they, like, had another job lined up. I have heard a few people like that.
Well,
like
I had a month, if you remember, you know, 2019, 2020, Kiwiens,
I recall.
I had a year where I was basically paid not to work. I could have worked. I did not have a non-compete. I just didn't work. It was very nice. And, yeah, everyone should get to do that.
Wow. That's a brag. Way to be relatable. Okay. Yeah, it's not my preference. I mean, if somebody's having such a difficult time, you know, who am I to say? But, like, yeah, it's not my style to just, like, mm-hmm. in Jess's situation, I would not say she should quit with no job. But Cece takes it into her own hands and on a call from Becky Cavatappi tells her off and quits on Jess's behalf. I gotta say, this would be a friendship-ending event for me, akin to the fettuccine Alfredo on your face.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's insane. Like, that is insane.
What, the fettuccine Alfredo?
No, like, to quit someone else's job for them. She's not,
no,
like...
No, it's really upsetting. It
being
is stupid.
Physically abused. Yeah. Like, you know, like, it's insane.
It is crazy because I think, like, there is a very sitcom-y trope where, like, a lot of sitcoms would have actually taken this as canon, meaning Jess would have never spoken the job again. It would have just been automatic. Like, her word was... Like, there's no reason to think that it was even, like, anything more than a prank or anything like that, you know? Like, there's no reason why Elizabeth Berkley should have taken this seriously for a second.
Well, yeah, no, I did appreciate that they just kind of deal with it, but there's, like, a scene in Jess's office, like... The other world they could have lived in where, like, Jess is now spending two episodes trying to get her job back, that would have been annoying. So, like, basically jump cut to Becky being like, I would never let you quit anyway. And that, motivates Jess to quit in a very Jess way. I hope you have a minor career setback, learn from it, relocate, and ultimately have a very nice life. Becky.
Yeah. Should she have called her by her Saved by the Bell name?
That would have been a fourth wall break. That would have been worth it.
I would have appreciated it. Someone pointed out also, Mr. Belding has already been on the show. Will we see any other Saved by the Bell people, Akiva? I don't know.
Who is Mr. Belding on the show? And who pointed that out to you?
I saw it on a Wikipedia page when I was looking up this episode.
Oh. Who was he?
I think it was Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah, he was like pervy Santa Claus pervy at the Santa airport Claus. Bar.
Yes.
All right, so speaking of the bar, back at the bar, Winston has requested a new partner because yet again, a callback from a long time ago, he was ready to sort of reveal feelings for Allie. He asked her out and she said, can my boyfriend come? And now Allie can't stop talking about her boyfriend and Winston can't take it anymore. Valid or a little whiny from Winston?
No, this is, I like, first of all, do cops get to pick their partners and switch back on a whim? Is that how it works? Is it like, it doesn't seem like, that's how it works at all. It's like figure skating partners. Like, all right, we're not really gelling. We're not going to win a medal. Like, let's move. I didn't think, especially like minor, like, you know, new cops. So yeah, I think it's a little whiny. And then he was going to tell her like that it was because she talks about her boyfriend too much. I don't know. What are you doing, Winston?
Is it even a real thing that cops have partners like this? I often see cops in twos, but like
I think in LA,
I only know
some
that
places,
from sitcoms
yes.
and movies.
Yeah, from movies and The Watch. That's a good movie. There's two partners, so I'm gonna say yes.
All right, I loved this list. Allie is very upset about it. She doesn't know what's going on. She returns his stuff to him, which includes a lucky crystal, a keychain fart marker. I don't even know what that means.
I don't even want to know. Yeah.
Is it marking something or is it a physical marker that smells like fart? Like, I don't understand. Over 100 yogurt tops, which I don't know if that's like a reference to
the
Office
of
Olympics.
Yogurts? I don't know.
A his flattened penny collection, which honestly sent me. That was like such a thing I did as a kid, where you like crank the wheel and put in 51 cents and like a penny with the Capitol building comes out.
I feel like you get Noam and Yosef started on that, they'd be at 50 bucks, my 50 bucks pretty quickly.
I mean, I think you could logic Noam, and Noam seems to be fiscally responsible. Like, you'd be like, you could have this 50 cents that you throw away on a penny, or you could have the 51 mm-hmm. cents cash.
Yeah, well, Noam did a book sale this week. He took all my used books, set up shop by a local, like, sort of like pizza shop, supermarket area on a Friday, and put prices on all of them, got like a relative's old receipt book and gave everyone receipts who bought the used books. So,
oh,
yeah, you know,
that's so cute.
Yeah,
did he make any money?
Yeah,
he
sold 7 books.
Merchandise?
They got started late, so they were there for only less than an hour, but he sold 7 books.
That's amazing. How much were they going for?
They were going for, I think, up to like $5-6 each. The low point was probably $1.50 or something.
That's amazing, and you're constantly talking about trying to get rid of your Shabbos books.
Yeah, I was disappointed because I it's all my books. By the way, I did say to him, like, if you really want to make money, you guys have hundreds and hundreds of kids' books from like all 5 kids, every ages. Like, put some of those in, and then put some of like Mara's not a reader, but Adira has. I buy her like. She has a lot of books. What's that? What's the really popular author? She has a lot of her books. Women's author. It's like by far the most popular author right now. Like, I'm sure, like, her books are probably like 7 of the top 10 on Amazon for the last year. Like I said, you know, have stuff for kids and women, not just like my books are like sports and
Colleen Hoover.
Yes, Colleen Hoover. Yes, Colleen.
I don't even know who that is, but I googled most popular author 2023.
Yeah, I'm not lying. I'm not
lying. And it says Colleen Hoover remains the best-selling queen.
Yes, she's the best-selling queen. Supposedly the books are very low quality, but I'm happy if any of my kids are reading, so I don't mind that she's reading Colleen Hoover. But anyway, like I said, like, you want to diversify your clientele. You don't want just what, especially like Friday, Erev Shabbat. Like, it's probably skewing a lot of women or children running in for their parents. Like, it's not you know, like, it's not 80% dudes, but all my books are mostly male skewing, I would say.
How many books did he bring? What percentage
of his merch? 50, 60.
Okay, so he moved, like, that's not bad.
That's
cool.
To sell more. I want him to do another sale. Like, I want him to lower his prices, just get the books out of here.
Well, will he? I mean, I think this is just the beginning.
I got to read more to like give him some new merchandise also, but I think you should lower. I think I also said you should do like more like 2 for $10 type deals. You know what I mean? Like, have some sales, but he wasn't
make
really
a sign that says interesting trades considered.
Interesting trades considered. I'll tell him.
All right. So speaking of books, the next item was a signed copy of a Paul Reiser biography, which I had to look up.
You had to look up Paul Reiser?
I know him from Mad About You.
Okay, so then what'd you have to look up if you knew him from the one thing he's known for?
Because I was like, is this an autobiography? Who signed it? You
looked up the book.
Is it real? Maybe. Did somebody else write it? Like, it would be hilarious if like a third party wrote a biography about Paul Reiser and they signed it. But surprisingly, Paul Reiser has written 3 books. Couplehood, about the ups and downs of being in a committed relationship. Babyhood, about his experience as a first-time father, which I guess fatherhood was taken, and mm-hmm. Familyhood, a collection of humorous essays. I'll be the judge of that. Mm-hmm. Couplehood starts on page 145, and Reiser explained this as his method of giving the reader a false sense of accomplishment.
It's funny.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yes, yeah.
Baby Carrot Thumb Drive, Picture of You and Dave Coulier, Loose Pez, Her Mom's Cell Phone Number, a ticket stub from Urine Town, I think glasses that said Groovy, I couldn't quite make it out, and a Pure Moves CD. I don't know if this was ad-libbed at all by Nassim. I don't know if this was completely written by her sister. Either way, this list killed me.
It's pretty funny.
It was just
Should we
me.
Do, like, podcast hood or something?
I think there are many more people more qualified to write that book than us. When it becomes your main bag, Keeve, then you can write that book.
What would be our hood then?
Being tired.
Tired hood? Are you very tired?
I'm constantly tired.
Okay, me too.
I actually started taking, this is not medical advice, but I started taking like a supplement that's supposed to being energetic. Speaking of tired, Ollie's now asleep on the couch.
We've bored him to sleep. Or maybe he should have had some caffeine in the tea that he instead gave to his lady friend and should have drank it for himself. I think...
You could write fatherhood. You could write a book on parenting.
Mm-hmm. I think so. But then it's like time. Every time you mess up, your kids, your wife, everybody's like, oh, you wrote the book on parenting. Let's hear what Akiva has to say. You know? My dad had this. My parents had this thing when I was a kid where I guess I was a know-it-all. Like, I would just, claim knowledge of things that I probably, like, and they would be like, oh, did you work, like, if I knew something about, I don't know, name an industry.
Vandalay Industries?
Yeah. Let's say it was, like, insurance. Like,
importing,
oh, you work at the...
Importing, exporting?
Yeah. You work at the import-export factory for a week, Akiva? Like, they would always say that. You go to architecture school last week?
I like that.
I don't know. It was a little condescending.
I'm going to use that against you.
Mm-hmm. They did that a lot. I don't hear it as much these days, but.
Well, you had to move. You had to move to another country. You hear that a little bit less often. Mm-hmm. So the new partner arrives, Dunstan, played by Sam Richardson. Matt S. was stoked on this. Are you Sam Richardson fans?
Yeah,
are you
he's
Sam
great.
Richardson fan?
He's great. I mean, his character is like cartoonishly, like, you know, I guess incompetent as a cop. But yeah, he's really good.
I only know him as from Veep, right? He's in Veep.
Veep, and no, I feel like I know him from a lot of places. Podcasts, I feel like I know him.
I'm not
from
saying you don't know him from other places. I'm saying
I don't know.
I think I only know him from Veep.
Because IMDb, but I feel like I know it from a bunch of places.
Well, before you look at his IMDb, you think we're ever seeing him again? Is he making main cast?
I will say yes. I think we see Sam Richardson again. Although he loses, I
you
don't
think
know.
He's making main cast?
No, main cast, no. I think he shows up a second
you said
time.
Yes, I almost fell out of my chair.
No, I think we see him one more time.
All right. So, yeah, he's like a bumbling idiot. I liked, you know, I'll yada yada through it as we're already over an hour through in this podcast. But I did laugh at, like, a little bit. I enjoyed Winston having another, like, equally as goofy person to kind of bounce off of. And basically the bit being that they're both sort of the beta cop. They're both, like, play the same roles in their old partnership. So mm-hmm. they're having, like, little hijinks on. Who's driving that much like us in this podcast, you know,
right.
Like the beta podcasters struggling to keep it afloat.
Well, I don't think anybody thinks I'm driving this ship, but yeah.
But I'm reluctantly driving. Like you're night blind and I would rather not be driving. You're face blind.
I am night blind too. Honestly, one of the reasons why I'm not a big, a lot of ambulances in the background.
I know.
It's okay.
I would say I'm on a more main street than I used to be. Get used to it, baby.
call like 301. Like, I just want you to know my podcast schedule. If you guys could like reroute the
I was actually very worried because an ambulance came by while I was in the holding room for a nap, and I was like, just what I need to get like shoved onto the fake red carpet and have a siren going the whole 5 minutes. No concern for the people impacted by the sirens. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. I needed this today.
How does this affect me?
Nothing made me laugh harder this episode than when the flasher comes in and, you know, Nick is explaining, Schmidt's horrified, reveal. We find out that at least Schmidt is still somewhat involved in the bar because he calls it our bar.
Yeah.
I don't think we really knew that. But... he's like, I'm calling the cops. Like, there's a man showing his penis in our bar. And basically, Nick reveals that he's come in all the time. Like, this is sort of a normal thing. Everyone gets flashed. Like, it used to actually be more interactive. And when Jake goes, you should too? I cried. And even Jake Johnson's like, no, it was more like tenses. It was like, bing, bong, bing, bong, bing. And he's like, what's that second snap? Like, this was a beautiful, beautiful scene.
What? We have a flasher. There is a man pulling out his privates in our bar.
Not a big whoop. It used to be worse. It used to be more interactive.
What do you mean interactive?
Interactive.
You show too?
No, it's more like tennis. Like exit.
What's the second?
Now it's just, and I'm.
This is a problem. Winston.
It is pretty funny. The idea of someone who like constantly is getting flashed, and nobody else there.
Now there are things I'm sure you just put up with as being a bartender in LA, like that's especially that kind of bar that's like empty and like whatever. But yeah, no one as Schmidt is pursuing here. No one should have to put up with being flashed by someone.
No.
I also love Nick being sympathetic to the flasher. Like, he's never come in twice in one night. I hope he's okay. Allie ends up coming on the scene, responding to a call about the flasher. A little convenient, but I didn't mind. And they end up having a reveal of, like, Winston wanted a new partner because of how Allie always talks about his bad taste in music. Flim Flam Jimmy Jam wants to know if Winston's storyline and reasoning for leaving Allie as a partner fits his character or not. I mean, obviously this reveal is a fake reveal, but do you think Winston would not be able to sort of play the friend in the relationship with Allie?
I think he could.
Into the mic, please.
I think he could.
Yeah, I don't really think that Winston would have called it. I think Winston, to me, is more somebody who would stay ridiculously optimistic and, like, pursue a friendship, much like he did with the girls across the hall when, like, him and Coach were, like, trying different approaches to hook up with the women across the hall. Or maybe it was Schmidt, I don't know. Of, like, helping them move and doing all the stuff. Like, I feel like Winston would want to just be around Allie and would be okay with it. So it just felt a little bit not Winston-y to me.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's a little bit... I can't complain because everyone had a good storyline, so I'll give them a pass for it. But I agree. It's weird, but it does seem like they're setting them up for a relationship.
So Cece wakes up hungover. Schmidt becomes the second woman today to get a tea from somebody. Schmidt left her a tea with a note that says, "I love you more every day." And they have a very, like, nice conversation for a sitcom, especially about how, like, they're both scared and freaked out about the wedding, but it doesn't mean they don't love each other and want to get married. And kind of a funny bit on the end of that, of he suspects there's a second cat in the loft that Winston's being cagey about, and Cece's like, yeah, it's a foster cat. Like, she has this close relationship with Winston, so she's already been looped in. I really do, for how this could go, I like the dynamic of Schmidt and Cece in a relationship, but they still have sort of these other loyalties to the friends in the loft. Like, she's keeping that secret at the time from Winston. I like that it's not just all of a sudden this duo energy.
I agree. Wait, so she's moving into the loft, Cece.
She's been living in the loft.
I'm saying, but she's, like, officially moving in now.
Yeah. Insane.
I mean, have you ever...
No.
Did you ever have any married friends who, like, lived with somebody else and it was like...
Yes. I had a married friend, or before they got married, but they were engaged and
that's a little different. I think engaged with a roommate is a little different.
With just one roommate. I think... I'm not judging someone doing this generally.
Yeah.
I do think, like, there's no world that Cece could afford an apartment with two other models even, but can't afford an apartment
with Schmidt with a real solid job. Yeah, 100%. Right. Makes no sense. Yeah, I can't.
And imagine. I wouldn't even mind. Like, I don't even think we'd really lose anything if they moved across the hall to the apartment. Like, if we found out that Schmidt always kept a lease because he, like, always believed, right. You know, he
and
kept that apartment across
there.
The hall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be fine. I agree. Like, you would lose very little. It would just be, like, a different bedroom set or something like that.
It definitely cracked me up that it's, like, end of an era in the apartment. And Nick and Winston are like, have you ever even, like, been here? He's like, never more than twice.
Yeah. No, he wasn't there. We've been there, like, as an audience a bunch of times, but, yeah.
But Cece's outfit to say goodbye to her apartment was so of the time. Honestly, if anything, it was, like, a little bit pre-2016. This, like, royal blue romper with, like, lace and then black ankle booties was just really taking me back to
I don't know what you're saying, but I agree with
you. It's for the audience.
Yeah.
And then we get the Nadia cameo that we talked about. Kiwi, you mostly got to the guide. Are you happy to be back? You've had a nice break from the new girl characters. What are you feeling, you know, midway through or a little more than midway through about the series in general?
Feeling good. I think we're in a good place right now. The last few episodes have been solid. I do think we're in the stretch run. I've heard people say that they thought, like, New Girl jumps a shark, but I haven't seen it yet. So I'm happy with that. I'd like to do this, to try and do this every week so we could actually make some progress, because you don't really, you know, if you do one a month, it's going to take a while.
Yeah, I mean, it was mutual.
No, nobody's fault. And if any, and even if it was somebody's fault, and even if it was my fault, like, you know, we just got to try and get back on the horse.
Yep. All right, who won the episode? You want to hear from the listeners first?
Yes,
or you
yeah,
go
yeah.
For
this
it?
Is a tough one. I want to hear from the listeners first.
New contributor, grateful to have anyone contribute to who won the episode. David says, not sure there's a winner here. Lots of flashing, firing, nerves, etc. on all fronts. I guess maybe Allie wins. She got Winston back at the end and some funny shenanigans between all the cops and good roast about the Pure Mood CD. Matt Stewart says the MVP is Winston for getting back with Allie as a mm-hmm. partner and being locked in as CeCe's person.
Yeah, I think we've seen Winston's perspective more than Allie. I think the winner has to be Winston here. He got Allie back. It's not that Allie got Winston back. We don't know her sort of goals. So, yeah, I'm going to say Winston for sure.
I really struggle to see how Winston wins this episode. While I respect both you and Matt Stewart, and Matt particularly has never had a bad opinion, but Winston, like, acts like a baby this whole episode. He should never even have lost Allie as a partner. He didn't communicate with her. She was, like, upset about it. And then he gets back with her and is in the exact same position he was before, which is, like, so miserable being her partner because he's got this unrequited love. But, I mean, probably I would say the winner is CeCe. Well, she's not, like, the funny. Like, I could see Winston as the, like, winner of just, like, the funny parts of the episode. But CeCe comes out of this. Her friends cleaned her apartment and packed her apartment. She faced no repercussions for doing one of the dumbest things of all time and quitting Jess's job. And then ultimately Jess does quit, sort of making it a non-issue. And she has this breakthrough conversation with Winston Schmidt, and like has this other layer of their relationship now that they can be honest about, like, feeling whatever type of way they feel.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like she put herself in the predicament a little bit, but I hear what you're saying.
Versus Winston, who quit on Allie? But yeah, all right. It's split opinions. Makes life interesting.
Mm-hmm, for sure. That's what they say.
All right. You know, Kiwi, I have an update. Because you laid some predictions out at the end of last season, the beginning of season 5. And one of those predictions was that Jess will change jobs.
Yeah, I had that. I think she changes jobs a lot throughout the course of the series. That's my impression from what we've seen from her, so.
But I'm giving you credit.
We're more than halfway through
the season, and she's quit. Now, I don't know that she doesn't go back to... If she goes back to the same job, then I don't think to quit gives you anything. But you're on the right track, I guess. All right. Do we want to do the quick banana minute that you sent me, Keeve?
Yeah, let's hear it. I wouldn't say it's a knee slapper, but, you know, let's good to hear from Yosef again.
All right. Here we go. It is actually exactly a minute. It is like a perfect Yosef minute.
Hey, Yosef.
Hi.
Hey, so we haven't done a banana minute in a while, and I want to know, how's first grade going?
Great.
Yeah? I heard a rumor that you had a pizza date today with a friend. Is that true?
Yep.
Is he in your class?
No.
Is he in the other first grade class?
No.
Where is he?
Third grade.
You had so you're a week in the school or 2 weeks in the school, and you hung out with a third grader?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. I don't think when I was in first grade, the only time I spoke to third graders was when they were probably stuffing me in a locker. Wow. How do you know? How do you even know the third graders? Like, how do you even get to know them?
No.
Who's that guy?
Friend.
No, I meant the guy talking, not your friend.
Which one?
That your brother who just shot a Nerf gun at us.
I do love when you say they were stuffing me into lockers and the delayed laugh from you.
Yeah, he had a good laugh. He thought that was funny. But I shout out to that kid. The first grader hang out with third graders. Like, I want to know what's wrong with that kid, but it's still like a good look for the first
What's
grader.
His name? Cree?
Did he say Kfir maybe? I'd have to hear
oh,
it again.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know the kid. It's, but. Yeah, that's not bad. I know he plays soccer with the third graders, so. Still
Yeah,
not bad. I never knew, like, I would be would have been afraid to speak to the kids 2 grades older than me, petrified. 1 grade older, I still never spoke to them.
I mean, Yosef has an unbelievable level of self-confidence that we could only aspire to.
My second and fourth kids really, like, have a crazy amount of confidence. It's true.
All right. Let's skip the Gardner Minute. It's been a long one. Getting dusting the cobwebs off here. If you want to leave questions, you could go to the pinned. Actually, it might not be pinned anymore because I have been collecting donations for an ALS walk I'm participating in this weekend. So thanks to any of the listeners who have donated. It truly, truly means a lot. Still time to donate. I think this will go out hopefully tonight. So still time to donate. That's in the pinned tweet. Then I will relink the questions. So if you have questions as you're doing an NGOG or New Girl rewatch, you're welcome to drop them in our Google Doc, Google Form. You could leave us a review wherever you're listening to this. I only know how to check on Apple Podcasts, so there you go. Follow Keeve at Keeve26. Follow me at LashTweets. Check out the 40th birthday Renap special. 32 fans, regular episode, and Patreon dropping. I assume you're only talking about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
We really didn't mention it, and I should have, honestly, but we did not mention it.
All right. That's a great plug for that. We're recovering. We're recapping the Challenge CBS Season 2 on Rob Has a Podcast, robhaswebsite.com/challengefeed for that with the great Brian Cohen. And hopefully we'll be back next week. Let's manifest it. Season 5, Episode 12, Keeve. Ready to guess?
Guess the title?
No, I'm going to give you the title. Just
like we do every week, yes.
It's called D-Day,
and
which I'm sure would have been your
D-dash
first guess.
D-Day?
Correct.
What a D is for divorce. Somebody gets divorced. That's my prediction.
Who do we even know that's married?
I don't know. That's a good question.
All right. Keeve, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
See ya! My pet and my dog.